This morning will be in Hebrews chapter 2. Thanks for everybody that's with us this morning. I hope you all remember our visitors. They got to know Channy and Patrick up in Alaska. I'm sure you do. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, the word let them slip there has reference to like a leaky vessel, lest at any time we let them leak out. Our memories are feeble things like the rest of us, and they increase in their feebleness with their age, seems like, or that's been my experience. But therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Therefore is there because it's looking back at chapter 1. And in chapter 1, we find out where our Lord Jesus Christ is shown to be better than the prophets in the manner of his speaking to us. The prophets, their visions were their instructions to us were spoken, of course, in some ways, but they were by dreams and they were by various means, and some of them were very dark and shadowy and difficult to be understood. But our Lord Jesus came speaking to us in terms that where he intended, they were very clear and plain, and where he intended, they hid the truth. As in the parable of the sower. Lord, why do you speak in parables? Because to you, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Matthew 13:11. So, we ought to give a more earnest heed because of the grandeur and the unspeakable dignity of the person who came speaking to us. God didn't speak to us by angels. He spoke by angels. It says, we'll get to this later on in Hebrews chapter 2. He spoke by angels in the Old Testament or by the ministry of angels, and somehow he involved angels in speaking unto us. Galatians 3:19, he says, let's turn around. Galatians 3:19. He spoke to us by the disposition of angels. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So, of course, that's speaking of Moses. Now, look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 53. Acts 7:53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels. Now, if you remember in the giving of the law, they were gathered together at the foot of Mount Sinai. All of the people and the congregation of Israel were gathered together at the foot of Mount Sinai. And in the morning when the Lord was to speak with them, the mountain was all on the smoke. and it trembled. And there was a sound came from the mountain that increased like a trumpet, and it increased in its intensity, got louder and louder and louder and louder. And when the voice came, the voice of words, Hebrews 12:9, it was a voice of words, and these words were all put together. And this may have to do with the ministry of angels, and some of the interpreters of Scripture say that it was that the air was moved in its vibration by angels. But in Exodus chapter 20, it says God spake all these words. Well, He may have spake them directly, in which case it would have been the Son of God who spoke, or He may have spake by the ministry, the disposition of angels. However God spake, He spake to us the law. Now, it seems more in keeping with the Hebrew epistle, though, to say that He did use angels in some way, because the comparison is the dignity of the person who spoke to us compared with angels. So, and He, in this first chapter, he's speaking of that Christ is better than angels. So we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we hear from Him that from Him that speaketh from heaven. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in His Son, or by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. Now, He is the great commander and the captain of our salvation. A captain is someone who gives commands to those who are under his command, and our Lord Jesus Christ is God's great commander. And in the beginning, He commanded, and the earth was made. Earth and all of the universe was made by the command of Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Verse 9. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's great commander, God's captain of salvation, spoke, and this vast universe was created out of nothing. And He's come speaking to us, speaking out salvation, the gospel. Who being the brightness of His glory, our Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God the Father, and He is that of the Father that shines out to us. Brother Jerry read in John 1:18, where no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son hath declared Him. He hath declared the Father in His own person. The Lord Jesus Christ is all that the Father is, and He in His person declared unto us the Father. In seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, we see all of the attributes of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit glorified in the person who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Glorified and set before us in a manner that we could understand, being of our own nature. He didn't come to us in the nature of an angel that we couldn't understand, we couldn't identify with, but He came to us in our nature. Who being the brightness of the glory and the express image of His person. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. We're one and the same. And upholding all things by the word of His power. Everything. This vast universe, the whirling planets, the stars, the black holes, everything that's in this universe is upheld and held together by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He purged our sins by becoming that cursed one that bore our sins before the justice of God. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, for it, as it is written, blessed is everyone, or cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Or that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, in that He took our sins personally into Himself. And He bore the guilt of our sin. And all of our sins were laid on Him, was imputed to Him. And He bore the guilt, according to the purpose of God, of our sins. And whenever He had paid the just penalty for our sins, which was death, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of the gift of God is eternal life, and the wages of sin is death. When He paid that eternal death that we owed to the justice of God, He said, it's finished. He put away sin forever. Put away sin forever. When He by Himself purged our sins. Now this is not for all men. This is for the elect of God. He purged the sins of a covenant people. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He's there this morning. There is, this morning, right now, a man in glory. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but He is the brother. He's our brother. He is the brother of everyone who believes this gospel. He's a near kinsman to us. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my beloved Son, this day have I begotten thee? He never said that to any of the angels. Never, never, never. But He did say that to His Son. For to which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be unto Him a Father, and He shall be my Son. And again, when He bringeth the first begotten into the world, He saith, Let all the angels of God worship Him. That is, they're to worship the Son. The angels are to worship the Son. So those who are inferior worship Him who is more excellent than they. And the angels, He said, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. So the angels are a ministry. They minister, or they are servants of God. And they are servants of God to the church. They minister to us. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now He's speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ here. And God, the Father, says to Him in His mediatorial office as man. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Him who is our brother. our near kinsman, the one who has purposed to save us by His grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit calls Him God. Acknowledges Him as God. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, Thy God, that is, Christ Jesus, God the Father, is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, as He is man and mediator, not as He is God the Son. He's His Father as He's God the Son, but He's not His God. God the Father is not the God of the Holy Spirit, and He's not the God of God the Son. Neither are either of those God to God the Father. They're all equally God. Look at Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, both as He is God. God the Son is the natural Son of God the Father, but as He is man and mediator, He is His Father. All right. Thou hast loved righteousness, back to Hebrews 2:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, His fellows are His brethren. Not angels. His brethren. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. To which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand to make thine enemies thy footstool? He said that to his son, not to any angel. Are they not all ministering spirits? That's the position that angels hold. They are ministering spirits. And they minister to us. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, the servants of God sent forth to minister to His children, sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's an amazing thing. Our God is the grand manipulator of our DNA. My father and mother had to marry. All the elect, well, everybody's parents had to come together and conceive. Because that's the way that God had determined that that person who is the outcome of their union was to be a person. He worketh all things after the counsel of this will. There's nobody on top side of this earth that God did not engineer them for the place that they hold in this world. They have the personality. They have the physical strength, the mental strength. Everything about them is what God had determined that they should be. Verse chapter 2. Therefore, now because of this, because of all of these wonderful things, because of the grace of our God, He came speaking to us. If we'd have got what justice demands, He'd came in flaming fire to devour us. we've broken His law. We've stepped outside His covenant. Not beyond His knowledge, but by our transgression. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, the things which we have heard are the things back in chapter 1. And our Lord Jesus Christ came speaking to us the gospel. And the thing that sticks uppermost in my mind about the gospel is our covenant union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 5. Verse 27. Well, verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it, that is the church, that the Lord Jesus Christ might sanctify. Now remember that. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body. Of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they two shall be, and they shall be joined, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Look, Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. For He is the head of the body, the church. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, and the church is His body. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now look back at Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of God given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think more highly of than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now that's everyone who has faith. God gives them the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members of that same body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Well, go to 1 Corinthians 12:12, and then we'll move on. But I wanted to emphasize this of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. For as the body is one, 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ mystical. That one new man, the perfect man, that is created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:15 and 4:13. Look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God put us all in the body of Christ as it pleased Him. Let's look at those verses in Ephesians before we move on here. Ephesians 2:15. We looked at them before on several occasions, but they're always worth looking at. Ephesians 2:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I'm in 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. All right, now 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. But all things, I keep getting the wrong chapter. Till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. Christ mystical. Turn back to Ephesians 1. And look at verses 22 and 23. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All right. So therefore, because of that union that God has established in covenant before the foundation of the world, and picked out, selected every member of that body, every brick of the house, every branch that's in the vine, all the particular parts of that house, and given them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he espoused them to himself as his bride, and died for them at Calvary, and put away their sin. Therefore, because that is true, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, to give heed to something is to study it, to think about it, meditate on it, look it all over, try to understand all of its ins and outs, is to have a thorough knowledge of it. Now, God has determined to feed His people with knowledge and wisdom by giving them pastors that will teach them out of the Scriptures. And by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God to save them that believe. And how shall they believe in what they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? God has ordained the means of preaching to establish a knowledge of covenant union in Christ in His people. They shall be all taught of God. Therefore, everyone that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. God teaches His people by the preaching of the gospel. Now, if we want assurance of our salvation, if we want it to be more than a guess so, or maybe so, we need to sit under the gospel preached. When we sit under the preaching of the gospel, God will feed us, we will be nourished, and the new man, the inner man, will grow when the food that he has is wholesome. But if you go out to churches where they preach error, and a yea and nay salvation, well, maybe this and maybe that, and if you'll hold on and all of these things, and if it's based on you, then you're going to be remaining death. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, there it is, the word spoken by angels, referring back to the law. If if it received a just recompense of reward, that just payment and vengeance according to the mind of God. Mm-hmm. He's the judge. For if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and it did. Now the only ones who did not receive a just recompense of reward in their persons were those who received it in a surety. In a lamb slain, a bullock, or some offering under the ceremonial law. And under the New Testament, those to whom God does not impute sin and will not give them a just recompense for their error, they receive punishment in their surety. The Lord Jesus Christ. God punishes sin in every, on every sinner. Some in their own persons, some in the surety of the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ. How shall we escape? We certainly shall not escape. There is no escape. Either the surety is going to suffer or we're going to suffer. Look at Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, 22. By so much was Jesus, our Lord Jesus, made a surety of the New Testament. look at Matthew. Matthew 26:28. Matthew 26:28. This is my blood of the New Testament. Our surety suffered. He paid a debt. He paid all the debt that was laid on him. And the Lord laid on him for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? He paid all the debt of all of the covenant children of God and nobody else's. He didn't come to save angels or the non-elect. He came to save His people from their sin. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Back to Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation that has such a great author, that has such a great high priest, that has such a great sacrifice, that had such a great display of the acceptableness of the offering in that He set His Son at His own right hand. Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, that is the apostles and the early preachers of the gospel, God also bearing them witness. Now, we have no reason to not believe this Bible. Simple men. Undesigning men. Men who were not crafty with words. Honest men. God used them to write this book. Those men could not have interwoven such a book as we have before us. In its intricate details. And such a number of them. They were the 12, the 70, the 500, and the fathers that wrote after them. All bear witness to the same truth. We are without excuse. If we don't believe these words. Bill Clinton said, they asked him, they said, well, do you think the Bible is the Word of God? He said, well, I think the Bible is in the Word of God. Or no, he said, I think the Word of God is in the Bible. In other words, it was okay. You could sort through it and take what you wanted to leave the rest. No, it's all the Word of God. Right. It's the Word of God. Therefore, they are without excuse. People who turn their back on this book and on the Son of God and denying His truth are without excuse. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. Now, all those raising of the dead, the cleansing of lepers, everything that Christ did and His apostles did was God bearing them witness that their message was true, that they were really heaven sent, that they were ordained of God. Now, the reason we're not raising the dead today, personally, is because we have the Scriptures and the faith is established. It wasn't then. They didn't have the New Testament written then. We do. We have the Old and New Testaments in front of us. The words that God spoke to us. Now the fact is, the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back to this earth. Now He's not coming to suffer this next time. He's coming glorified as the judge. God hath committed all judgment unto His Son. Verse 5. For unto the angels, now he said, looking back on all these things that we've been talking about, for unto angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. He has subjected the world to come, whatever world that is, to someone other than the angels. Now, he didn't tell us here who it is, but he will later on. But it's not a subjection to angels. Now, what office then do the angels have in the world to come? It's a ministry. Look back at verse 14 of chapter 1. Are they not all ministering to spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? They are the servants of God. They're not sons. They're the servants of God. They're not children of God. They're children of God by creation, and they're referred to as the children of God by creation, but not by adoption. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of? Man in a nature that can die. Now, he wasn't created that way. Man was in his first created condition, would not have died. Satan brought sin into the world and death by sin. We would have been on a plane with angel as far as immortality is concerned had we not sinned. But we did. We sinned in a covenant here and failed. But one in a certain place said, "What is man?" Testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Look at Job 17:17. Job 17:17. Well, there's not a Job 17:17. I've undoubtedly written down the wrong reference. Look at Job 15:14 there. Job 15:14. What is man that he should be clean? What is man that he should be justified? In that it takes the blood of Christ to justify a man. What is he? Brother Jerry said one time, he said that, referring to Matthew 13, he said, "We are of little value, but great price." And that's true. Little value, but great price. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 17. Isaiah 40, verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. So what is man? Well, elect men, the elect, God has set his infinite love upon him from everlasting. Amen. But man absolutely considered in himself very little value. But to redeem him was an awful price. The blood of God. And God is more glorified in the salvation of one sinner than he was in the creation of this vast universe out of nothing. And he has redeemed his people. But one of us in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." Now, a little there means for a little time, for a little while. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Not the angels, not principalities, not powers. He said to the storm, "Peace, be still." He said to the widow's son at Nain, "Arise." All things are in subjection to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to us, but it is to Him. He is the man. The man, Christ Jesus. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him, not under men, but we see our Lord Jesus. God hath given him all power in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Everything is in subjection to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for a little while, for the suffering of death. He became a man. He took on a nature that could die. In his Godhead and deity, it was impossible for him to die. But he so brought that human nature into union with himself. And those natures remain distinct. He is God, but he's a man. Mm-hmm. But they are in union in that one person who is God. God over all, blessed forever. Romans 9:5. And in that nature that he joined to himself, that he brought to union with his Godhead, he died. And the dignity of his Godhead was involved in his death, so that it paid an infinite debt. An infinite God involved in death in the man, Christ Jesus, made his sufferings of sufficient value that God said, "It's finished. Their sin is no more." He separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He threw them behind the back of God, he in the depths of the sea, and he proved it. When he raised his dear son from the grave without sin, he bore our sins in his body up on that cross. And he struggled and groaned and moaned in agonies and death and blood until he paid the price. And then he said, "He's finished." Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's also seated at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for his brethren. I I wish I had time to go on, but my time's up. And we'll take up here next week. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. God crowned him with glory and honor when he set him at his right. God declared him to be both Lord and Christ. Mm-hmm. That he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for everyone. Or for every, is actually the Greek. Every son, every one of his brethren, every one of the seed of Abraham, every one of them who are sanctified. And we see all those down there in verse 10 through the remainder of the chapter. I've got about 10 more minutes. I think I'll go on a little bit. I'll close shortly. For it became him, that is, it became God the Father, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In other words, he set apart the Lord Jesus Christ. He perfected him in his office. Not that there was any imperfection in him before, but he sanctified him in that office through his sufferings. And it was by his sufferings that he accomplished what he was appointed to in the office. Mm-hmm. By the suffering of death. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. They're all men. He became a man to sanctify his brethren, who are men. Not only that, we're of the same covenant. And it is his blood that we are associate with. Because we were cleansed by his blood and he shed that blood. But the thing that he's driving at here, they're all of one nature. They're all men. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. Now we are sanctified by the will of God, not by our will, not by our supposed free will. Look at Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Drop down to verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Mm-hmm. And then look back up at verse 7. Then said I, this is the Lord Jesus, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. We're sanctified. Sanctify means to set apart. Means to encapsulate them. To be holy and without blemish before him in love. For both he that sanctifieth nor they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Look at Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Isn't that wonderful? For He hath prepared for them a city. God, not ashamed to be called my God. What love and mercy and grace. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, look at Mark 8:38. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, the Lord Jesus, and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God declared from faith, revealed from faith. The faith, as it's written here, to our faith in our heart. Amen. Well, thank you.
So that got stiff.
Two in the man. I like that. Be gone all fear and unbelief. I don't know. I forgot what it was. That's the 135, man. Yeah. I should be able to sing all these without the book. Beautiful, wonderful songs. 135. Be gone all fear and unbelief, has not the Father put to grief His spotless holy Son for me upon the cruel cursed tree. And will the righteous judge of men condemn charge to my great surety when he was slain at Calvary? Complete atonement Christ has made. The laws demanded, Christ He paid. All that His people owe to God, He satisfied by His own blood. God's wrath on me shall not take place. I'm robed in Christ's own righteousness. He shed for me His precious blood. My sins are drowned beneath the flood. Christ Jesus, my discharge procured, the whole of wrath divine endured, the law's tremendous curse He bore. Justice can never ask for more. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then demand the price from me, for whom Christ died at Calvary. Be still, my soul, and find sweet rest. The merits of my great High Priest, His righteousness and precious blood have satisfied the Holy God. I'll trust Christ's efficacious blood, and never fear the wrath of God. Since Jesus Christ has died for me, and lives for me to intercede. Have any announcements? Anything coming up? Brother Jerry, you have anything, dog? All right. Wonderful message.
It certainly is.
And He said He'd never forsake us. Amen. Never leave us.
Amen.
All right. We'll stand and be dismissed this morning. Brother Jerry, would you dismiss us in the word of God?
Our Heavenly Father, as we come at the close of this service, we give You praise and thanks for speaking to us through Your word today.
Mm.
Our Father, we pray that You give us eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and a heart to receive.
Yeah.
Oh, how glorious is this message of your gospel. We thank you, Father, that you've given us faith to lay hold upon him who loved us. He gave himself for us. It's in his name we ask, Father, as we're dismissed from this place, go with us to our several homes. Keep our heart, mind, and soul fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. In his name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you all.
Forgot that on.